I was reading an article the other day that examined key Hebrew words in the story of the Passover and provided some really powerful insights. You won't see Passover the same. To find out more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. A few weeks ago, we aired an episode about the Feast of Passover. If you watched it, I hope it was a blessing to you. If you haven't watched it, I encourage you to do so. But for this episode, I'm summarizing information from an article that was originally published by Dr. Meredith Klein back in 1994. What he discussed, in my mind, is pretty extraordinary, and it makes me see the Passover in a new light. Now, before we examine the Hebrew in the Passover account, I want to discuss the idea of avian or bird imagery being connected with God in the Bible. Now, this may kind of seem like a foreign idea at first, but I'm sure you've read passages that included bird imagery. The first time this appears is not quite so obvious. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The word translated as moved is rahaf. Rahaf means to hover, to move gently, or to brood. Dr. Klein argues that Genesis 1:2 is the first metaphor in the Bible, and it likens the Spirit of God to a bird hovering. As evidence, he points out that the same verb, rahaf, is used in Deuteronomy 32:11, which says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." The word translated as fluttereth in this verse is the same word, rahaf, that is translated as moved in Genesis 1:2. So the word can be used for avian or bird imagery. There is a sense of God hovering or brooding like a bird. Now, if this seems like a stretch, we know that Scripture repeatedly refers to God with avian or bird metaphors, and God referred to himself that way. In Exodus 19:4, God said, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Multiple psalms refer to hiding in the shadow of his wings. Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." In Psalm 57:1, the psalmist says, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 91:4 says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." Psalm 63:7 says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." The metaphors of God being like a bird are associated with protection, strength, and refuge. Now, if we look at Exodus 12, the bird imagery is also present, but it's kind of obscure, so it's not usually noticed. Chapter 12 begins with God giving instructions to Moses and Aaron regarding the lamb. Verse 12 reads, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." The Hebrew verb translated as pass through is avar. This verb is used in connection to the action of the firstborn being killed. God was going to pass over or pass through the land and smite the firstborn as judgment. And this is described with the word avar. In the very next verse, verse 13, God said, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The word pass in this verse is a different Hebrew word than the word in verse 12. It's pasach. From this word, we get the noun Pesach, which is translated as Passover and is the name of the Passover holiday in Hebrew. The verb after Pesach is al, and it can mean over, above, or upon. So Pesach al is translated as Passover in the King James Version. But notice a distinction between the verses. In English, the Hebrew verbs are both translated as pass. But the verb in verse 12 refers to passing that leads to death, and that's a different verb than the one in verse 13, which is a passing that refers to protection. And this is a really important distinction. God will avar when he passes through to smite the firstborn, but he will pasach when he sees the blood covering, and that will protect the people. So is he going to see the blood covering and pass over them? And if it's the same type of passing over that comes with the judgment, then why use a different verb? And how does his passing over protect them from the plague? So let's look closer at the word pasach. Now, sometimes a word has multiple meanings, and it can be interpreted more than one way. One meaning for pasach is to limp. And in 2 Samuel 4:4, this word is translated as became lame in reference to Mephibosheth. But on the night of Passover, the meaning of lame or limping in verse 13 would not be an appropriate translation because it doesn't make sense. Another meaning of the word pasach is to pass or spring over, including a connotation of covering or hovering. Now, Isaiah 31:5 gives an example of this. This verse has an important parallelism that can help us to see the idea of covering or hovering. Isaiah 31:5 reads, "As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it." This verse is structured with parallelism in which the first and fourth phrases relate to each other, and the second and third phrases relate to each other. The verb in the first phrase is oof, and it's translated as flying, but the verb can also mean to hover protectively. So there is bird imagery and the idea of hovering. The verb in the last phrase, which parallels the first one, is pasach, which is translated in the King James as passing. And to pass over is the most common way this verb is translated. So it's not wrong, but it doesn't relate to the nuance of the bird imagery. Now, in phrases 2 and 3, the parallel idea in both of those lines is that God is defending. And that verb is ganan. Ganan can mean to defend, but it can also mean to cover or to surround for protection. So if we align the meanings of the verbs in the first and the last phrases because they parallel each other, and if we translate the words in a way that stays consistent with the bird imagery, then Isaiah 31:5 could read something like this: "As birds hovering, so will the Lord of hosts cover Jerusalem. Covering also, he will deliver it, and hovering, he will preserve it." This translation uses the meaning of verbs that are within their semantic range while also keeping the bird imagery consistent. And it shows that pasach can have the idea of covering or hovering. Dr. Klein offers Egyptian linguistic evidence to confirm the idea of pasach as hovering or covering, but it's beyond the scope of today's conversation to review all of that detail. But he does argue that the Hebrew noun pesach, which again is how it's commonly translated as the word Passover, and that's and which is derived from the word pasach, it can mean a sort of shielding, shelter. So with this background, if we go back to Exodus 12, verses 12 and 13 that we've already examined, Those were the instructions from God to Moses about the Passover. Let's jump to verse 23, in which Moses was repeating God's instructions to the people. Moses said, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." Notice that Moses used the verbs exactly as God did. The verb avar was used to describe the Lord passing through to smite the Egyptians. But when he saw the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, then the Lord would pasach over the door and protect them from the destroyer. So was God going to pass over the door? Possibly. But based on the meaning of the word pasach and the protective bird imagery used repeatedly in the Bible to describe God, more likely God was going to personally hover over and cover the door. The destroyer would pass over, but God would cover. On the houses that had the blood of the lamb applied, God would hover and cover so the plague would not destroy them. The blood of the lamb covered the doorposts, and the Spirit of God covered the inhabitants in those homes from judgment. He personally covered them to protect them. This interpretation of the night of Passover, which was really a night of symbolic covering and literal covering for those who had applied the blood of the lamb, appropriately pointed forward to the new covenant, when the Lamb of God would shed his blood to provide a covering and free people from the power of the destroyer and protect them from eternal death. And they would have the Spirit of God as an abiding presence through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm drawing this to a close, but I want to point out something related to this study that has to do with the deity of Jesus, and in my mind is another really powerful insight. It's common in the Bible to use anthropomorphic language to describe God, meaning that he's described with human body parts, the face of God, the right hand of God, the arm of God. It's fairly common in the Bible. But what is not common is zoomorphic language. God is rarely described in animal terms in the Bible. But we previously reviewed a number of scriptures in which God is compared with the imagery of a bird and described as having wings. And actually, in the ancient Near East, protective bird imagery was used in relation to deities. So in the ancient Near East, there was a context of deities being described with bird-like qualities. And the Old Testament biblical writers multiple times used bird-like qualities to describe Israel's God. Now, if we jump to the New Testament specifically in Matthew 23 and Luke 13, the gospel writers depicted Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem. And listen to what Jesus said. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Jesus used protective bird imagery. And because that imagery was unique to deity, Jesus was giving an indication of his status. And Matthew and Luke would have been familiar with the ancient Near Eastern context of the relationship between birds and deity. And they would have been aware of the bird metaphors used throughout the Hebrew scriptures for God. So they understood the implications of what Jesus was saying. God was Israel's protector, and that protection was conveyed through the imagery of a bird's wings. And Jesus used that same bird imagery. He was claiming the status of deity. Jesus was equating himself with God. That's a great one God argument. I hope you've enjoyed today's lesson, and until next time, take care and God bless.